Accession number 27499, Mr. Pete Neville, Rail 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Neville?
I was born in Royal Hospital, Portsmouth, on the 27th of the 4th, 1924.
And could you tell us a bit about your family background?
Yeah. Well, if I start right from the beginning, we start in 1066, actually. When Britain was invaded by the Norman French, they were led by a chap named de Novavilla. Gilbert de Novavilla. And really, he was the first Neville to come to Britain. And of course, he brought 60 ships over, and he was known as the Admiral. Well, over the years, the name changed from de Novavilla to de Neville, and then eventually it became Neville. And in around the time of the Wars of the Roses, it was N-E-V-I-L-L, Neville. There's a lot of history attached to the family, and we're the poor side of the family, actually, because the head of the family at the moment is the
all right.
Here we go. He owns a part of Kent named Erich in Kent. There's a castle there. They don't live in the castle anymore. They live next door in the place that they've built.
And what about your side of the family?
Well, our side of the family starts because about in the early 1980s, 1880s, one of the family opted out of the family, and he joined the army as a soldier. He liked horses, so he became a farrier, and they kicked him out of the family, and that's where we start, because we've had to work with us for our living. But the rest of the family, they lived most of their life on horse racing and hunting, shooting and fishing and that sort of thing, you know, a lot of layabouts.
Now, what did your dad do for a living?
So, yeah. Well, my father was in the Navy. He was in the Navy for 30 years, and he was a shipwright in the Navy. And my mother was an ex-Wren, 1914-18 Wren. They met and married and had four sons, and I'm the second of the eldest. The eldest one died, and the other two are still around, you know.
Now, did you live in Portsmouth?
Yes.
Tell us a bit about your early childhood. I mean, how comfortably off were you with your dad as a shipwright?
Pretty good. There were a lot of people out of work, you know, a hell of a lot of people out of work. But we were lucky in as much as my father was in the Navy, and he got about £5 a week or something like that, which was a lot of money in those days, you know. So we were never poor. We were always well looked after, well dressed, well fed, etc., you know. That's how we were.
And whereabouts in Portsmouth did you live? What sort of housing?
Lived in a house in Copner, in a road called Litchfield Road, next door to a church, St. Cuthbert's Church. In the early 30s, my mother went to Malta, where my father was, and took my two younger brothers with her, and my elder brother and I stayed with my grandmother and aunt for about a year and a half. When they came home, we then moved later to a road next door, the other side of the church, Kimbolton Road Church. And that's where we stayed until my father came out of the Navy after 22 years. And then we moved to Stride Avenue, still in Cockner, where they started buying a house. And that's where I lived until I was married.
Now, what about your education? Can you tell us a bit about
education,
that?
Education, yeah. Well, originally it was a little church school, little church school as an infant. And then we moved into another infant school, and then what they call a boys' school, first of all, where you stayed from the age of 7 until you were 14. But they changed that, and after a while, that became a junior hospital, a junior school. And then later on, I went to a senior school in Milton.
Now, how did you do at school, Road. Would you say?
Well, I was always in the A class. I was never very much good at maths or mechanics, but I was very good at English.
That's what you liked?
I was always topically English. But unfortunately, the only jobs that were available when you left school were either in the dockyard, in the Navy, in the Air Force, or in the Army. And so we took examinations, and I wanted to be in the Navy.
Like your dad?
A tiffy. You know, I wanted to be an electrical artificer. Well, those who wanted to be engineering, ERAs, like engineering.
I know what you mean,
on
ERAs,
the engineering
yeah.
side. They were called up for their medicals and things like that. And I waited and waited and waited, and eventually I wanted to be an electrical artificer. And eventually I went to the barracks, Portsmouth Barracks, and one afternoon, and there was a surgeon commander who gave me my examination, and he'd been on the gin, and he was drunk, and I upset him, so he failed me. Now, rather strange, 3 years later I was accepted by the Air Force. There was nothing wrong with mine.
Now, what year was this that you failed to get in as an ERA, electrical ERA? Do you know
1939.
So just before the war?
Yeah, just before the war, just before the war started.
So that's when you left school, was it?
Yeah, I was 15 years of age when I left school.
So you left before the war started?
Yeah, just before the war started.
Now, what were you going to do?
Well,
you wanted to join the Navy, but you didn't get in. So
no, I couldn't. I had to go in the dockyard as an apprentice.
Now, tell me about that. You know, what was it like as a as an apprentice?
Well, the war had started when I was accepted for apprenticeship.
All right. Well, let's come to the war start. What do you remember of the outbreak of war then? I mean, it's the old quote. Mm. Do you remember the day war broke out?
Well, my father and I were living by ourselves. My father was in the Navy. He was away at sea. My elder brother was in the Army. He was in the Territorials. He was called up before the war started. And my two younger brothers went away,
All right.
Well, they went away somewhere away from Portsmouth. Where
they were evacuated.
Evacuated.
Sorry, yes. I was a bit slow.
I couldn't think of the word. Evacuated. Right. They were evacuated. So just mother and I living together in Stride Avenue.
And
my apprenticeship.
What about the war breaker? You were going to tell us what. Do you remember? Did you hear it on the radio, or how did you find out?
Oh yes, we heard it on the radio. The speech, as everybody heard it, you know.
And what did you think when you heard it?
Well, we thought first of all of gas. We thought, you know, we were concerned about gas being used more than anything, I think. We didn't think about bombs or anything like that, not then.
Now, why did you worry about gas so much? What do you think caused?
Well, because we'd known what happened during the 1418 war, you know.
Did you have your gas mask?
Yeah, we did. That's right. We were issued with gas masks, weren't we? In a cardboard box. They weren't very good, but they were. Yeah. Everybody was issued with gas masks.
Now, so what about this dockyard apprenticeship? That's after the war broken out. Tell me how you got taken on and what your work was like.
Yeah. Well, we'd start at 7 o'clock in the morning. Always had to be there before 7 o'clock in the morning. And apart from working at tools with an instructor, we went back to school on the mechanical side, on the, you know, the being taught a little bit, a certain amount about naval architecture and that sort of thing.
Now, what tools were they teaching you in?
Shipbuilding.
Now, what tools?
Tools.
Lathe or
oh no, not machinery at all. No, it was all mostly hand tools. Just about every tool you can think of that you can use by hand, you know, drills and saws and hammers and chisels and all that sort of thing. Yeah.
And did you enjoy the work?
No, it was terrible.
Why didn't you enjoy it?
Well, because it was dirty, unsafe. You know, the working was quite terrible. In fact, on the first Christmas Eve of 1939, I was working in a dock. In high sea boots, with my sleeves rolled up, tying down dock blocks, freezing cold, and I thought, my God, am I going to do this the rest of my life, you know? And I went into a shed where they keep boxes, and I almost howled. I didn't cry, but I was so cold and terrible. I thought, so miserable. I thought, I'm never going to continue with this. Anyway, I worked at that job. It was a hard, dirty, unsafe job.
So, what kind of thing were you doing? Why was it dirty and unsafe? You know, tell us a bit of what you actually did. You were learning, obviously, but when you know the practical side of it.
Refitting of ships and parts of ships and things like that, you know, that's what we were working at. There was no build shipping going on at that time, but ship repair.
And what was so dangerous about it? I think I know, but if you could just tell us.
Yeah, well, the docks were very, had great big steps down into the docks, you know, and they're always cut. Slippery, covered with green weed and that sort of thing, you know. And also, working on a ship, you had to be careful, didn't knock your head every time, you know. And they had wooden ladders. And in those days, they didn't have any scaffolding or timber. You know, built bits of timber built up, and you worked on those. No scaffolding or anything like that. And, it's very dangerous. Very dangerous.
Do you remember any incidents from working in the dockyard, or is it just one of boredom and routine?
It's a long time ago, isn't it?
It is.
It was a bit boring, was somewhat boring. I didn't think I was doing very much, and that's why eventually I joined the Air Force.
Now, how long did you keep? I'm going to come. I've got some more questions about life in Portsmouth, but when did you join the Air Force?
September 1942. September 1942.
Now, what about conditions of life? You know, did you have any air raid shelters at home in Portsmouth?
Yeah.
What was your air raid shelter like?
We had a brick built air raid shelter.
Not an Anderson, then?
No, not an Anderson.
What was it like? Can you describe it for us? Cause I'm not so familiar
with it.
It
was just like a brick shed with a thick concrete roof. That was it. No door on it, anything like that.
What was it like in there?
Damp, cold. Not very nice at night, you know. Not much room either, you know. Never enough room to put a bunk or anything like that in, you know. So,
Now, what about the blackout? How did you do the blackout? What effect did it have, and what was it like in your house? I mean, how did your mother organise it?
Well, we had black curtains we'd pull every night. We'd pull across before it got dark, and to put those up.
What was it like on the streets when the blackout was on?
No lights at all, of course. You got used to that.
What do you mean?
Eventually, well, everything was black. That's all, you know.
You just got used to it.
Dark all the time, you know. No lights anywhere.
What about German air raids? I mean, there were some on Portsmouth, weren't there?
Yeah.
What do you remember of the German air raids?
Well, just about every evening, the air raid warnings would go, and we'd shoot into the air raid shelter. The nearest bombs we had to that were in the road near us. And one, we got the one landed and actually drew the windows outwards into the streets. It was sort of suction, you know. And that was the only damage we had, really. We were very lucky. Just lost our windows, that's all. And the canary was killed.
What about the state of the streets? What effect did the bombing have on Portsmouth?
Well,
on the docks and on your way to work, things like that.
Well, in the morning, used to go to work on my bike, and on occasions I'd go into a road or try to get through that. I couldn't get through that road because it was all brick rubble everywhere, you know. So it went around a different way, another way. Another thing was that it didn't matter what happened the night before or what you'd done the night before, you had to be at work before 7 o'clock. If you got there after 7 o'clock, you lost money. So, you know.
Now, you weren't in any, I presume, being a, you were a reserved occupation, were you?
Yeah.
Now, that meant you, were you not in the, you wouldn't be in the, either the Home Guard or the ARP?
Yeah. I was in the LDV, first of all.
Oh, you were in them?
LDV,
tell us about
yeah.
that, last local defence.
I was quite young. Well, when it first started, it was...
After Dunkirk,
they formed the local defence volunteers, and I became a volunteer.
Now tell me about that. We're very interested. What do you remember? Where did you go, and how was it formed?
Well, I was too young, really, but I got interested in what we were doing, and then, of course, later on, it became Home Guard.
Now, what were you doing with the LDV, you know, that interested you? What were they actually doing?
Well, patrolling certain areas. That was about it.
What sort of weapons and uniform did you have?
Uniforms were light khaki drill. And the weapon was SMLE, you know,
Lee Enfield.
First of all, it was a P-14, old-fashioned American rifles, and then we got rid of those, and they gave us the Lee Enfields. I got quite interested, and I went on courses.
What kind of courses?
Well, how to strip down weapons and things, and you know, what bombs are made of and things, all that sort of thing. Yeah. And
where did you meet? You know, where was the drill hall or the?
Well, first of all, it was. Where was it? Oh, not very far from St Mary's Church in Flatton Road. That was the first place. And then we moved from there to a drill hall in Commercial Road. And then from a drill hall we moved to the the pier, safety pier. That's all right, somebody, here we go. Safety pier. And that's where we ended up. That's where I ended up.
Now, what kind of training did you have, other than, so you had, you go on courses and you patrolling. What other sorts of training or activities?
No training, really.
How old were they? Were they the same age as yourself, young'uns, or were they a mixture of young and old?
Most of them were older than me.
What did you? How did you get? They're First World War veterans, I presume. How did you get on with them? I mean, did you look up to them?
Well, having been on courses, I'd learned quite a lot, and I was quite interested, and I was given a little red diamond to wear on my sleeve, which indicate that I was proficient. But also, although I was quite young, they made me a lance corporal. And for my squad, I started teaching them what I'd looked for on these courses. And some of the older men joined in, and after a while they learnt from me, so they made me a corporal. Well, on the television I watch Dad's Army, you know, and there are many things happened in the Home Guard which I remember, which you could put in a program like that. One incident, a funny incident, There were two elderly chaps. We were issued with a Tommy gun, Thompson submachine gun, and I was the only one allowed to carry it because I was the only one who'd been on a course, you see. But after these others learnt from me how to pull things to bits and put it together again, etc., etc., the captain was quite happy that they could carry it as well. So one evening they went out with it. And the hotels along the seafront had been taken up by naval officers and wrens. And these chaps went along, and there was one of the hotels that the curtains were pulled back and the lights were flaring out across the seafront. Well, they threw stones at the windows and knocked on the doors and couldn't find anybody to answer. So they stood back and they fired the submachine gun up into this room. We never heard a word about that at all. They put the light out.